We go with Parshas Vayishlach, which is on page 170 in the Arzachol Chumash. The Parsha begins telling us that Yaakov is anticipating meeting his brother. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Achiv Arzah Seir Sedei Edom. Yaakov sent Malachim. Now Malachim, as we know, could have two possible meanings. One is messengers, and the other is, as Rashi says, Malachim Mamish, actual Malachim, angels. So let's take a look at the Ora Chaim here on the pasuk, because he's going to make he has a number of questions basically on the language here, but it's actually hold on, before we do that, so I want to focus on the words which he's going to focus on. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. Yaakov sends I don't like to translate it as angels, so I'm just going to say Malachim. He sends Malachim Lefanav, in front of him. Okay, so the first question the Ora Chaim is going to say is Lefanav, Vayishlach Malachim. What do you mean? Where else are you going to send them? Behind you. El Esav Achiv, to Esav, his brother. Achiv is who? Superfluous. We know who Esav is. Arza Seir Sedei Edom. Arza Seir Sedei Edom. I mean, all that is superfluous. You're sending them to Esav. Who cares where Esav is? Esav could be anywhere. It doesn't matter. Okay, so let's take a look now. So he says, Tzarech l'da'as omer l'fanav l'lo tzarech. L'fanav is unnecessary. Gam lama hutzrech l'mar tevas achiv. Also, why does it say achiv? We don't even know that. Yadua hu she'esav hu achiv. We know that Esav is his brother. Gam lama hutzrech l'azkir artes ha'yirs de'edom. So I just mentioned those beforehand. Ki ha'shlichus lo yishaneh im yesham v'makam achir. The job to find Esav doesn't matter where they're going. Their job is to find Esav. Right, it says you're going to go Arza. Now, we know that Arza, when you want to identify a location and say it's to the location, like, for example, Mitzrayma, to Egypt, right? The Ahay at the end means to, it's in place of the Lamed. But still, he's saying, I want to know why. There's a reason for the change, because you could also just say, you know, Lufanav el Esav Achiv l'Eretz Seir. So, what do you need? Arza. Achen kavonas hakasavu l'teis tam l'omro vayishlach malachim. Lama yishtameish b'mishar se'elyon. Says the pasuk is meant to give an explanation for why Yaakov is utilizing malachim. Malachim. So he's under the assumption that Yaakov is using angels. Angels. Okay, messengers of God, godly figures. And divine figures, I should say, not God, divine figures. And lelo tzorech, right? What? Seriously? You have plenty of servants. You could send servants. Ki yachol asos davaray de mishar siyadam, gam ne'ish. Human beings could certainly accompany a few animals to Esav. L'zeh amar lefanav. And he says, that's why it says that Yaakov sent malachim lefanav. Perush l'tzad ayosam lefanav. Don ki hurshel ishtamish b'hem l'asher yitzarech lehem b'davar she'en yachol lasos ha'idei b'nei adam. He says, because they were before him, they were greater than him, they had a mission that he could not achieve through sending human messengers, through human agents. What is that mission? V'yamar ki yitzarech lehem l'tzad she'ashlichus v'esev hu adam gadol ki yidua l'fi d'varehem. He says, because they're being sent to Esav, and Esav is a very important and imposing figure. The concern is that if he sends lowly servants to Esav, then Esav would not view them as important enough to let them go back. To let them go back.
He would kill a messenger.
Okay? That Esav would say, you did your job, you're done with you, or you become mine. Mm-hmm. But because they're of lofty and important character, Esav, there's nothing Esav could do to them. Oh, Efshar, Shiaktim lahakosam, Ibli Yashav, Viaval Yaakov, Kasher Yudea Nesher, Mashain Kena Malachim. Right? He would get there, he would beat them, and they would not be able to let Yaakov know that he's coming. Because, of course, well, the next thing we know is that after Yaakov sends them, they come back, right? In Pasuk Zion, if you just look on the Chumash, second to last line, Vayashuvu Hamalachim Al Yaakov Limor Banu Elachicha Elisav Gam Alech Likras Chavir Abraham Elisishimo. We came to your brother to Esav. If it were just regular Joshmos, Esav might not give him the opportunity to go back. But Malachim can withstand whatever Esav could do. Gam b'emtzaus shlichusam yifached b'ro'av levavo b'ro'asot tzva shemayim. Says there's also an imposing element of what Yaakov is doing through sending malachim. Esav, look who's representing me. Angels of God, you think you can frighten me? You think you can scare me in any which way? Right, they're existing in like chariots of fire, or they wear fire. And that would frighten Esav to not want to do anything. He says to them, El Esav Achiv, Perish Tam Ishtad Lusabash Lichazeb, Derech Shalom. I'm sending you to Esav, my brother. And the word brother is meant to impose, or at least imply, that this is a peace offering. And he's hoping that as a result, Esav will not be interested. Remember, the big concern when Yaakov left was that Esav was planning to kill him on his return. Okay, so that's the first point.
Does somebody comment on why in the Pasuk Aleph it says Esav Achiv? And they said the Malachim answer, Banu El Achicha El Esav.
Yeah, I mean, they don't so much focus. The Arachayim doesn't focus so much on the switch of the order, but he does focus on the use of the Achicha and Esav, which we're going to get to. Okay? O Yirtzel Zeh Aderech, I'm in the third paragraph now. El Esav Shehu Sonei, El Achiv She'eno Sonei. That he's sending the message to Esav, who is, you know, the hated one, but to the brother, because I don't hate my brother. Based on how you find and discover Esav is coming, you were sent. In other words, Yaakov is sending them in two different ways. If you find that Esav is hateful and he's looking to attack me, then you're sending it to Esav. But if you see that he's the brother, then I'm sending him in a different way. And that is in a peaceful way. He says, and only angels could make that distinction, because humans, they wouldn't be able to pull it off. They wouldn't be able to discern in the same way that angels could see to the soul.
So why would he be so frightened if he was able to?
Ah, okay, all right, so that's a good question. We're going to soon see. Okay, so let's get to there. Okay, did I give you one? No, okay, so now we get to Mlavan Garti. I didn't give you what Derek Rim is. Okay, I skipped one that I shouldn't have given you. Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter, it's fine. No, I wrote that I wasn't going to give it to you. Okay, I did exactly what I wanted. Okay, pasuk hey, vayitzavo something more. So he commanded them, kozamrun ladoni leesav. So you will say to my master, to Esav, komar tocha Yaakov and lavan garti vayicharata. You should say that your servant Yaakov said, "I lived with Lavan and I've been delayed until now." And then he goes on to describe the wealth that he has amassed in terms of animals and servants and maids. So let's take a look. I'm sorry, Im Lavan Garti. Did I do that right? Yeah, Im Lavan Garti. I have all these notes and they're confusing me. Im Lavan Garti. Why is he telling them that he lived with Lavan? We all know that you've been away for a long time and that's where you have been. Gam Ma Modia B'chol Mamar Shlichus, and also what's his whole message? Just say these are gifts for you. We like you. Derech Beisachim Asher Nemanim Heim Ba'Avosam Modia Ach Lechav Eskol Asher Yavor Alav Me'Atavos Gam Me'Araos Ki Zeh Yagid Korbas Alavavos. Basically, what's Yaakov doing? He's saying, I've had a mixed time. You were concerned that I'd be all successful. Well, okay, I had success, but guess what? Also, I had to deal with. In Lavan Garti, I lived with Uncle Lavan, and he is not such a good dude. So if you think all my time in the last 22 years was, or the last 20 plus years that I've been away, was all Disney World, guess what? In Lavan Garti,
so
that what's Yaakov doing? He's unloading. In other words, he's bearing his heart before his brother, as brothers do. Okay, I can, at least brothers who have a good relationship. Okay, I can attest to that kind of idea. There are very few people to whom I will share what's going on in my life like I will to my brothers. Okay. Because there's an element of trust there, even if there's whatever, you know, nonsense which exists. So maybe Yaakov is saying, "Hey, listen, whatever we had is nonsense, but what we have is real. We're brothers." So he's also trying to let Esav know, you know, there's no sense in having distance. In Lavan Garti, Yadu Hayalavan Baflagas Haresh of Arama Uz Vein Adam Darim Nachash. Right, everybody knows Lavan's reputation, and how do you live with a snake? The Afal Pike and Gari Mo Yaakov, but nevertheless, all the same, Yaakov lived with him. Vzela Lachala Os Hafalagas Maasav Anachonim Ro Even Achon the Karvola Avol Chavo, and basically Yaakov was saying, that's enough of a reason to see that I'm a good guy because I've emerged and I'm still giving you stuff. That means that I didn't learn from Yaakov, from Lavan. And don't think that I was only with Lavan for a short amount of time. I've been delayed. I've been there for so long. Don't think that I was, you know, less than a slave, you know, more than, I mean, don't think that it was so good there. Don't think I was such a slave because I did amass something. I did amass an amount of wealth. But what am I still referring myself to you as? You're my master. I'm the servant. So Yaakov is basically saying, look, I got my head screwed on. I know the score. And I know that you know the score. And I'm here and I'm offering a peace offering because I think that that's very important. Okay, so now, to get onto your question, Rabbi Kasavsky, Pasuk Zayin, Yeshuva Malachim, they say to him, Banu Elachicha El Esav. So look at the next comment that he makes. Perish Yeshivu Tshuva V'Amrula Banu Elachicha Perish Hu Mar Panim Ayosachicha. Right? He's coming along. He looks like he's your brother. Kviya Emes Hu Esav Harashum Besina. Right? Again, that was the whole point. He said that only the Malachim could discern that. He looks like he's Yachicha, but not so clear that everything's so very good here. V'Gamu Olech L'Grasacha Perish Olech L'Grasacha B'Derech Achva. Right, Holech L'Krascha, he's coming towards you. However, Abraham Yosishimo, the 400 men that are with him, are not exactly peace loving. Okay, L'Machshava Ra'ah, that they are coming with bad intent. Okay, so I think that he's following suit exactly the way that he said at the outset. Banu Elachicha, I'm sorry, go El Esav Achiv, and they say Banu Elachicha and El Esav. Holech L'Krascha, Abraham Yosishimo. That there's, you know, there, looks can be deceiving, and in our opinion, they actually are deceiving. Oh, your tzeh, turn the page. Turn the page. Did I do that right? Oh no, I'm sorry. I skipped too early. I turned the page too early. Okay, I'm sorry. Turn the page to the Chumash is what I meant to do. Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzelo vayachatz es ha'am asher ito v'eson v'es ha'bakor v'agmalim v'shnei machanos. So Yaakov was afraid vayetzelo and he was distressed and he divided the camp into two. So look, last year we talked a lot about this. Rabbi Kasavsky mentioned at the time that Yaakov was afraid and it stressed him that he was afraid. He didn't want to be afraid. There are other interpretations as well that address that. I actually did find this to be pretty interesting. Well, it says here, Vayirav Yaakov, so go back to the bottom page one. Perish nichnas begedel harog ol lehareg. Yaakov's concern was, am I going to kill or be killed? Lezeh kineged lehareg yorem od. To be killed, right, that was really bothering him. Ucheneged laharog, and to the fact that he might have to kill somebody, vayetelo. That distressed him. Right, because why should we get into a fight? If I'm killed, like, what's that going to mean to my family? What's it going to mean to everybody? What's it going to mean for the future of this nation that I've created? Okay, but if I have to kill, I mean it's pretty bad. I don't really want to kill anybody. So Yaakov was very afraid. And it doesn't say Vayetzer lo ma'od. All right, if I have to kill somebody, it's battle. What am I going to do? They attack me. But that is what it is. That's what battle is. War stinks, but if I emerge from war, then, you know, I can live with myself. But if I would kill, you know, how do I live with myself if I get killed? Thank you. One person gets my humor. How do I live with myself if I get killed? Okay. Oh, Yitzha. Ki Litzad, top of the next page. Ki Eizim Arim Haros Achva Husone. The fact that Esav is pulling a trick, where he's showing brotherliness, and he's really hateful. Yari Yaakov, Shalola Achimat Smol Milchama. Yaakov was afraid. This to me is fascinating. Yaakov was afraid because he didn't want to prepare for war. Because Shema Esav Yargu. Yaakov Klei Krav. He says maybe Esav is going to kill him, but I have nothing to defend myself. But to try to figure out how I'm going to get together some weapons in order to fight. But Yaakov was distressed. Why? Because maybe Esav does not have ill intent. But when he sees that Yaakov's all armed up to the teeth, ready to fight. Then Yomar Esav, Halo Yaakov, Huda Reish Ra. Wait a second, maybe Yaakov is looking for a fight. All right, then maybe Esav will renew his hatred. Ulazen is Chakem, and so that's why Yaakov was wise. Vayachatz, and he divided into two. Perish Chitzam, Chetz Yarishan Marim Pnei Ava. The one that was meant to greet Esav was going to show love and genuflect and all that. V'chiba. Ka'achla achiv, right, and the love for a brother from a brother to a brother. Nechatzi machaneu muchan mezuyan, and the other group is prepared and armed, and that's what amachaneh nishar lefleita. We saw that last year. That what does lefleita mean? It's for salvation. Yosef, we learned that word from Yosef. Yosef in Egypt says ve'yizlachem lefleita gedola, that through saving all the food for everybody, I became a source of salvation for the family. And that's what the Fleita Gedola means. That they are the other camp is the reserves. Now, I don't even know what that means, because in the end, remember when Yaakov meets Esav? Who does he show Esav? Who does he introduce to Esav? His entire family. So what's the Machaneh HaNishar? I mean, are those all of his workers? I don't know. It could be.
But how far apart could they have been?
I don't know. Right, exactly. How much time? If Esav comes along and they start attacking, how much time are they going to have before Yaakov and his group are gone? Okay, I don't want to read the next one inside, but he quotes Mori Zakeni, which I guess that's his grandfather, who said that the number of animals that Yaakov sent is Cheshbon Seir, Sheolah Bo Tafkuf Pei. 580 animals, and that's the gematria of the word seir. So it's easy to remember if you care about that number. There's a lot more depth to that number, and what it means, and the repercussions in karbanos later on. It's a lot on that. But the Aruch Haim doesn't address that. He just mentions that. So I thought that was just something for those who like gematria. Just threw that one out there. Okay, now the commentary that he has on the rest of the Esav story was not all that exciting, to be quite honest. So we're going to skip it, and we're going to move on to Yaakov arriving at the place after Yaakov and Esav part ways. Yaakov moves on, and he ends up near the city of Shechem. Okay, he really has almost nothing on the fight that Yaakov has with the Ish. You kind of expect the commentary to go off on that one. Like, what's going on? Is it the Sarosh? Is it the officer, the angel of Esav? He really has almost, basically nothing, the Aruch Haim. So we'll leave that. The only thing that I will say is that, of course, we know from that story that Yaakov ends up injured. Right? That's the last thing that we know, is that the guy hit Yaakov on the Kaf HaYarech, on the thigh somewhere, and so Yaakov was injured, and presumably limping. But for the pasuk on page 180, pasuk Yichas, the end of chapter 33, says, "Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem Asher Beretz Kanan." That Yaakov came Shalem to the city of Shechem. Okay, so what Shalem is? There are mostly two interpretations. There might be more, that Shalem is the name of a city near Shechem, similar to the city of Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, though it would not be the same city because we typically identify Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, as being the king over Yerushalayim, and that's the source of the Shalem part of Yerushalem, Jerusalem, and this would be a different city named Shalem. Okay, another one is that Shalem refers to Yaakov's state of being in one form or another. Okay, Yaakov being Shalem. So let's take a look. Or Chaim, on our page 2, Pasuk Yitchas. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Shalem. What does Shalem mean? Rabbi Seinu Amru Drashos. The rabbi said a bunch of stuff. O Tzarek Ladas, Kavanas HaKasubi Amru Bevao Mipadan Aram, En Yadu Amukhuvam Bezeh. Okay, when it says here, Asher be'eretz Kanan bevo'o mipadan aram. Like, what is that? What does that have to mean here? We know where he was coming from. Okay, so take a look at the next paragraph. Achein nir ki odia kasuv ki mashachaser minichasav Yaakov avinu b'mincha asher nasan la'esav hishlim Hashem chesrono. I found this to be a little fascinating. So here, you wanted a little, something a little fascinating. Okay, you ever have that? You ever hear that that line? Where somebody, I mean, you know, more often you hear this from philanthropists who give away a lot of money, and they turn around and they just find that it's not even a drop in the bucket. Somehow that their funds have been replenished, like they're not missing it at all. So that's what he's saying that Shalem means, that Yaakov gave away all these animals to Esav, and somehow he was missing nothing. That's why it says Mipadan Aram, because he's as wealthy as he was when he left Padan Aram. Okay, so basically that's what he's saying. That Shalem is not even right, because a lot of commentaries say that Yaakov was healed from his fight with the guy, and he's saying no, it's Shalem b'mamono, that his funds or whatever it is, his wealth has returned. Okay, now we move on to what is arguably one of the most intriguing stories in this parsha. But not only is it intriguing, I was thinking about it afterwards. You know, it's funny. When we watch politics, today everybody has a very, you know, pretty strong bias. But if you can be objective for a moment, some people don't like this when those who like the current president, for example, when he is criticized for doing something that his predecessor did, okay, the exact same thing that everybody, you know, those who love the predecessor and don't like him, they'll say, look what he's doing, it's disgusting. You do realize that when your predecessor did the exact same thing, you had no problem with it, okay? And vice versa. People who love it, people who love everything about him, you know, when the previous president did it, they say, "Oh, look at that guy!" You know, "Oh no, when he does it, it's okay." So you know, it's just funny the way they do that. So why do I mention that? Because not only because there's really a lot of that in politics. So I don't want to talk about politics, but in this story. Right, we come to the story from the perspective that these are the Bnei Yaakov, right? How could they have done anything wrong? And there are hints in the text, some things, look, clearly their father is not pleased with what they do. And in the end, listen, I mean, let's look at the facts of the case, okay? Their sister, who's very young, okay, by any account, she's probably not even double digits, right? She's probably under 10, right, by any account, okay? Which makes the story even more horrifying. What's the proof for that? Because just the timeline. Yaakov has not yet met his father, and he left. Remember that he married Leah and Rachel. 7 years he works for Rachel. During those 7 years, his sons are born. And then he works for 6 more years, during which time he amasses his wealth. And then it takes him 2 years from the time that he leaves until he meets his father. Because altogether he's away from his father for 22 years.
Well, when is Dina born?
Okay, so yeah. Dina was born at the end of that 7 years before he starts amassing his wealth. Okay?
That's 14 years.
So it's... So,
at the
so
end
it's,
of 14 years?
At the end of the 14 years. So in other words, it's six...
6 years.
Plus two... I mean, Max, the way that... Unless there's another year somewhere in this story or two, she's a little kid. Okay? So the story is awful. Now, one thing we could say is that, you know, sometimes the stories in the Torah are out of order. Okay, so if you want to make that argument, okay, so add a couple of years. What are we talking about? She's not 11, 12. I mean, so the story is awful on every single level. She's raped, okay? And then the guy who rapes her comes along and says, ah, I love her, and she loves me, and I want to marry her. Where is she? We'd love to talk to her. No, no, she's locked up in my palace. This doesn't exactly sound like like she's really on board, because you haven't let her out. But Yaakov doesn't say anything. He waits for his sons to come home, and then his sons make this whole arrangement. And the truth is that we can't really do this without looking at the psukim. So let's take a look at this at the psukim. Okay, so the first thing that we need to see is the first two psukim, and then we'll which sets up the setting that Dina is in the house and that she's raped. Okay, so Vateitze Dina Bas Leah, Dina, the daughter of Leah, goes out Asher Yoledali Yaakov, who was born to Yaakov, L'ros B'vnos Haaretz, to meet the girls of the land. V'yaros HaShechem Ben Chamor HaChivi Nesi Haaretz, and Shechem Ben Chamor, who was a Chivi, who was a prince of the land, saw her, V'yikach Osa, and he took her, V'yishkav Osa V'ye'aneha, and he lay with her, V'ye'aneha, and he violated her, he raped her. Okay, then the pasuk describes how he decides he wants her, and he talks to her, he speaks her, he whispers sweet nothings in her ear, etc. And then Chamor comes to speak to Yaakov. Pasuk Zayin, the end of pasuk Hey said that Yaakov was quiet until his sons came home. Pasuk Zayin. So last line and a half on the page. Uvenei Yaakov bo ben asadeh. The sons of Yaakov came from the field. Kishomam when they heard by Yisat Zavu Hanashim. They're very upset, and they're very angry. Ki nivalas of Israel, this disgraceful thing I've done to Israel, the shkavas bas Yaakov, to lay with the daughter of Yaakov, v'chein lo yaseh, this shall not pass. Vayidaber Chamor itam lemor, Chamor spoke with them, he says, Shchem b'ni choshekon nafsho b'vitchem, my son, Shchem, his soul desires your daughter, your sister, whatever, tenuno salo lisha, give her to him as a wife. You'll marry us. You'll give us your daughters. And you will take our daughters. You'll live with us. The land will be before you. And you can settle, right? Do business, commerce, and just, become citizens here. And Shechem says he wants to throw a little icing on the cake, and he says, I will find favor in your eyes. And whatever you tell me, I will give. Right? Dowry, no problem. And give me the daughter as a wife. You know why? I mean, why is he asking permission? Clearly, he didn't really care for permission. What's he trying to do? He's really trying to bully them. But, let's assume good motives here. Let's assume good motives here for a second. The Or HaChaim does not assume good motives, but let's assume good motives for a second. Okay? And, Vayanu b'nei Yaakov v'shechem v'eschamor v'bimirma v'aydaberu. So the question is, this is the real question. What does the word bimirma mean? And we had this word of 2 weeks ago in Parshas Toldos. Remember when Yitzchak discovers that the blessing that he intended to give to Esav was given to Yaakov. He says, "Ba'achicha b'mirma." Okay, so that's really a fascinating question. What does mirma really mean? Was it a trick, or was it something else? And the Or HaChaim pointed out to us that the word mirma could have different meanings. It doesn't necessarily mean a trick. Right? A lot of the commentaries say chachma, but again, it's not sly chachma, wisdom. It's that this was the right thing. It was supposed to be done this way. And the Or HaChaim gave examples of how mirma could mean that. But the idea here is, like last year, and I, to be honest, I prefer the interpretation we saw last year in the Aksavi HaKabbalah, where he says that the brothers say to him that, what's the first here? Vayanu b'nei Yaakov Hashchem v'eschamor aviv, quote, they say b'mirma, which basically means you guys are a bunch of liars. Okay, that they call them out on it. They say that this is not really vayidaberu, and they spoke. And the Aksav Kabbal said again, Asher Timeas Dina Chosam, saying, you're the one who was Metame the sister. But again, Vayidaberu, it's not that he spoke to the guy who was Metame their sister, but that was actually what they said to them. They're saying, look, we are being straight with you. We think you're disgusting. Okay, that's, we know exactly who you are. That was the Aksav Ekabal's point. And Or Chaim does go in similar realm, but he really tries to run circles around B'mirma, which I think is a little harder to swallow. But again, going back to the political example that I gave before, you know, most commentaries, I mean, Yaakov is critical of them, and he remains critical of Shimon and Levi to the end of his life.
But you don't see him take a stand here at all.
No, Yaakov, correct. Yaakov does not take a stand. And my theory is that Yaakov was a destroyed man over this.
But he sort of knew the son will come back. He knew the temperament of the son.
I don't know if he knew the temperament, but Yaakov, I like to think that Yaakov was looking at the fact that his 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old daughter was just raped and had her life ruined by this disgusting pig. And on account of different reasons, I mean, the Aksav HaKabbal is the one who said that there's a word here, Vayichan es pnei ha'ir, when it says that Yaakov came shalem to the city of Shechem. What is Vayichan? Yichan comes from the word chen, which means charm. What did Yaakov do? Remember, if he's shalem, if he's so wealthy, he's trying to charm the locals and saying, hey guys, you know, you can do business with me. So what does he do? He sends this guy a sheep, he sends this guy a bottle of wine, and this guy a bottle of whiskey, and this guy whatever. That's what Vayichan means. Not that he encamped, but that he became a charming fellow. Everybody knew who he was. And that's why Shechem, after he does what he does, has to get permission. Okay, we're going to get to it. Anyway, so that's what, then they say to him, Vayomru alehem lo nuchal asos hadavar hazeh. We can't do this. Let's say this is to give our sister Leish to a man Asher Lo Orla, who has on him a foreskin, Ki Cherpa Hilanu, because it's a disgrace for us. What's a disgrace for us? To give it to that guy or his foreskin? That's a good question. Anyway, Ach Bzos Neos Lachem. This is how we are going to Neos. Good question as to what that means. Imtiu Chamonu, if you will be with like us. Lihimolachem calls the heart to circumcise all males. V'nasanu es v'noseinu lachem. Okay, then we will give our daughters to you. V'es v'noseichem nikach lanu, and we will take your daughters. V'yashavnu itachem, and we will live with you. V'hayinu la'am echad, and we'll be one nation. Okay, now what does it mean we're going to be one nation? If we're going to be one nation, what does it mean? That we're all going to become Shechemites, or we're all going to become Israelites, we're all going to become monotheists. What does it mean? We're all going to be one. Share and share alike, right? We're all one. We're brothers now. That's what's supposed to be achieved. In every way. V'hayinu la'am echad. V'im lo sishmu elena limo, but if you do not listen to circumcise, v'lokachan es b'tenu v'alachnu, deal's over, we're taking our sister. In other words, you don't follow through with your side, which really is everything. Mila means that you're really joining our side. We're not becoming you guys. You guys are becoming us. So if you don't become us in every way, then we're going to take our daughter and leave. So who agrees to this? The whole nation? No. Two guys. Okay, two guys. He circumcises himself. They come back. They speak to the people and they say, they're shalem with us. Or maybe that's another hint to the idea of shalem, but anyway. They're going to live with us. The land is before them. Now hold on a second. They never said that you guys can take our daughters. First of all, Shechem and Hamor said, you will give us your daughters. And the brothers said, we will give you our daughters. And we will take your daughters. Right? The takers are only going to be Bnei Yaakov. That was the agreement. But now they're saying, we're going to take their daughters. That's already not what they agreed to. So what are Shechem and Hamor doing? They're changing the conditions. Says, the only way we can be one nation with them is if we circumcise. That's not what they said. They said, you have to be with us in Amachad. And that's the first step of that is circumcision. Not the other way around. But they make it the other way around. What's the next thing that they do? Everything which they own is ours. Hold up. That's not what they said. They said, we're brothers, share and share alike. You guys are making a separation. Okay? We just got to, you know, this little thing. So what do the people do? So everybody circumcises. Okay? Now the next one, the whole idea of what that means, that they were in pain. So last year we saw that it was an emotional pain, not physical. They were fine physically from the circumcision. But that the koev was when they realized, what have we done? What have we agreed to? We didn't want this. We were coerced. We were forced. This is not what we wanted. And then Shimon and Levi come in and they kill everybody. Okay, so that's and they take. Now, if we were to look at this objectively, it looks like the sons of Yaakov had a really nefarious plan. And they came in and they said, we're going to get them all circumcised, we're going to get them weak, and then we're going to just slaughter them all. Okay? So the question is, first of all, is that the only way to read it? Second of all, is there any justification for anything which they may have done? Okay, one thing to bear in mind is that the people, all people, are B'nai Noach. And they're theoretically subject to the laws of being B'nai Noach, the Noachites. And the rule with Noachites is if you break any Noachite law, what's the rule? Break a Noachite law. Death! Okay? So now the question is, was a Noachite law broken here? And if that is the case, who broke it? And who might be deserving of death? Okay, so I think that most people would agree that if the brothers had only killed Shechem, or maybe killed Shechem and Chamor, because Chamor really did turn a blind eye, that might be justified. But the whole town, all the men, really? 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 So they give excuses, they give answers to Yaakov. And we'll get to them. But what I want to do now is just read through the Or HaChaim. Read through what I gave you. We're going to start on page 2. And we're going to go, really, through page 4 or 5. I mean, we're going to spend some time. Okay? Let's go right into it. Okay? Vatetei Dina. Tamam Robas Leah. First of all, why did the pasuk say that she's the daughter of Leah? Iskavena kasulo diasi baser shesavu ayitzia. The Torah is showing us reasons for why she went out. Vehem mispar gimel. There are actually 3 reasons why she went out. Vzeu shirakasu vatetei dina vatam ayitzia itzad Yosef asleah. The reason why she goes out was because she was Leah's daughter. And what we saw in last week's parsha is that, you know, who else goes out to find the guy? Leah, remember after the deal with the flowers, Leah went out. Now the Or HaChaim was actually complimentary of Leah, as we saw last week. But it's clearly a character trait that she goes out when there's something going on. But because she was the daughter of a woman who goes out, then she went out too. Skip to the next line. Siba Beis, the second reason why the Torah introduced her this way. Liosa bas yichida liyakov. Basachas ben Abanim, she's the only daughter of Yaakov, only one amongst many brothers. Odios bas Yaakov, Yotzal Hashem, Havayasaba Olam. The fact that she's the only daughter—that's how people know that she exists. Yes. Oh, you're a nice large family. How many are you? We're 12 brothers. Any sisters? Yeah, one sister. Ooh, one sister. Interesting. Sheba emtozeh asashchem ashasa kasher aver, and it's because there was only one that Shechem did what he did, because he's a. In modern parlance, we say a sick dude. Hagimel, we might call him Harvey Weinstein. That's what I might say. Okay. Liros bivnosa aretz. Okay, liros bivnosa aretz. Al derech omram zeh. What do you mean that she went out to meet the girls of the land? The rabbis say, and it's in a number of midrashim. Last year we saw it was in Bereishis Rabbah. It's Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Also, Hishchem evi bivnosa aretz aviv lo'ol Yaakov. Shechem brought a bunch of girls. Vayimusakim b'chlei naval, and they were playing with music, whatever. Let's say, in order to get Dina, let's say it's Dina the Kolam, that the Dina should, you know, hear the music and come on out. Vizo siba gimel yitziasa. That's the reason why. Umimutsa davar atayodea, she lule lo yet Hashem b'dina, letzada Yosef es Yaakov, harashum ba'olam, v'haya lo sham, v'lad az banav, lo haya osim aseil. Had it not been that Yaakov had one daughter, and Shechem was like, ooh, I'm going to get her. I can get the one daughter, come on. Then he never would have been there. But it was Yaakov. People knew who Yaakov was because Yaakov had a reputation. Yaakov was somebody who was important, not to be trifled with. Shechem says, I'm gonna push the limits.
Wasn't there a mattress that said each son was born with a girl?
Yeah. And actually, that is kind of ironic, because later on, when he talks about the birth of Binyamin, that's one of the points that he makes. But so I don't really know what that. I mean, look, obviously, in our knowledge of the sons of the family of Yaakov, we are only familiar with one. So we can say whatever we want about the Midrash. I don't know. Yeah, Jerry.
Based upon the interpretation that she's the only daughter, it kind of raises the question to me is, if she's the only daughter, Yaakov and the brothers should have had somebody very specifically watching.
Yeah, but that's not to say that, you know, I mean, who's to assume the worst? Or why do you have to assume the worst? What, she needs to be on lockdown all the time?
If she's the only daughter and they're surrounded by...
There was no indication that they were in danger. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that they need to live their lives that way. I mean, I don't know. We can disagree.
I would think that they would keep a better eye on.
Perhaps, but as last year I shared the example from the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. You ever see it? 1968 or so, with Dick Van Dyke and Sally Ann Howes, a regrettable performance, we'll admit. Okay, anyway, Lionel Jeffries was in it also, and I don't remember who else. Anyway, there's a scene where he has two kids, and they come to a town where children are not allowed. No children allowed. So they have to hide, and there's a guy who's a child catcher who comes out. He knows that they're there because he saw them. He comes out with this carriage drawn by a horse, and he says, "It's candy, 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 candy." And the kids, they're under lock and key. They're not supposed to come out. And the guy comes, he says, "Oh, children, any children, candy." And even though they're locked in, they run out for the candy. And so, you know, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to put it under lock and key? I don't know.
But also the brothers were out with the cattle.
Right. Okay, so let's continue. Nisiya Aretz Perishu B'zet Tzaka Anarav Emoshila. Because he was the prince of the land, no, she can scream all she wants, nobody's listening to her. Yisbar al-derech Umram Zal B'masi Ya'el Shana Asam Shal Rishayim Tzaru Itzal Tzadikim. The pleasure that Rishayim get is the pain of the righteous. He says in normal circumstances, a woman is supposed to, or not, I don't want to say supposed to, but could get pleasure from this encounter. But he says, adarava, it was absolute suffering and pain for her. Next. So they get upset. Why? I'm in Pasuk Zayin now. So where are we? Top of page 3. Two terrible things. Even if he were to take her in the way that people normally do, it would still be a disgrace because he is an ishtamei, an impure person. That would be the case no matter what, that this terrible disgrace has been done, that this fellow, who does not belong with the family of Yaakov, is taking her. And the second disgrace is the way that he didn't go about doing it. I mean, look, rape is rape. I don't care, you know, what culture you're in. It's still rape. Even if there are some who, you know, they'll just raise an eyebrow, maybe give a slap on the wrist at most, but still, they know it's wrong. They should know it's wrong. Okay? And that's at the very least, if you skip to the end of the line, that's what Shagadru Atzman Umus, when arise, at the very least, that's one thing which people are at least somewhat respectful of. Right? I mean, this guy did something which even his own people should be frowning upon. And, I mean, they let it pass, but still, I mean, this is just a terrible, terrible deed. Okay, I'm not sure why. We're going to skip now to Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm not sure why I gave you that bracha more. Okay, skip to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayanu bnei Yaakov. Okay, but Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov answered. Tzarkon das ma'wa chachma shasu shetir gem unkelus b'chachmasa. Yaakov says, unkelus says rather that they answered b'chachma with smarts, with wisdom. Vein zel ganevas das. Really, what they did was they pulled a whole bunch of tricks. Right? They were speaking in tongues, and they pulled the wool over their eyes. Okay, so he says, now we're going to understand. We're going to analyze what they said to Shechem and Hamor. He says, "What's mirma? That they were smart. That nobody should suspect anything malicious, because if Shechem and Hamor would suspect something malicious, then they would take extra precautions. Or they might say, you know what? Your deal is not passing the smell test, so we're not going to go through with it." Asher al kein nischagmu b'tshuvasam. So they were very smart in the way that they spoke. The kodum kol davar gilu ki ikpidu al davar shezula zetiyeh necheres ha'arma kevin shemasa yedua hila yasachem ma'alem yalim me'aros akpada kazos mirma yagid. They don't want anybody to be able to actually say that they spoke b'mirma, like, you know, translating the word mirma as a trick. And that's why when they started speaking, they spoke harshly. They said, "Asher timei." They said, "You." Like I said before, like the Ksav HaKabbalah did. He said, "You're the one who were metame. You were the one who defiled our sister." They spoke. Dibur is lashon kasha, right? It's harsh talking. The first thing they did was they said, "You were Batame, your sister. We think you're a slime ball. We think you're a disgusting person. We really think you're gross. Okay, so, and don't you think that we like you? We don't like you at all." So that already gets rid of the notion that they're speaking one way while really they feel another way. "No, we're letting you know how we feel. We think you are a vile person. You Shechem and you Hamor for going along with this." And then they spoke a little nicer. In other words, they said, "We can't do this. So, you know what? We might agree, despite all this, because you seem like you want to take care of her, all right? Maybe at this point in time, you're the only one, because as far as we're concerned, you ruined her life. But the fact of the matter is, you have a foreskin. Velo amru asher hu arel. They didn't say about a guy who is an Arel, right? Arel means foreskin, but it's also a depiction, it's a derogatory depiction of people who are not in the Bnei Yisrael camp. Okay, and that's something which you have throughout Tanakh. Arelim, Hagoyim Arelim, Aplishtim Arelim. I mean, that's the way to refer to them. Kilatan is Oya speaking him alone.
That's why in Yiddish, just like the...
Nisht Gemalt.
No, an Arel.
An Arul, okay? There you go.
An Arul. Arel.
All right. Okay. Kilatayna zu yaspik bihim alo, who has besar laso. If they say, we can't give it to a guy who, asher hu arel, who is foreskinned, then that would be simply remedied if he just circumcised. Zamru asher lo or la. Perush asher lo, meaning to him, heter orla, right? That he has permission to be an orel. What does that mean? That means, dude, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Okay, you can take what you want from what we're saying, but you're not a monotheist. You're not from the family of Abraham. You have no reason, you have every right to be an orel. You don't have an obligation. Okay, at that point in time, by the way, what we might call Judaism was not yet passed through the mother. That switched later. After Sinai, that switches. The Gemara, I don't remember where the Gemara is. I think it's in Yavamos. Yavamos, I think it's Daf Kuf, something along those lines. Where it talks about matrilineal descent becomes halacha versus this. Prior to the giving of the Torah, it was patrilineal descent. So any children that Dina are going to have, they follow Shechem. And the truth is that in most nations, nationalities, that's how it works. Everything's patrilineal descent. Right? Certainly, you know, that's the funny conflict that people who You have this every now and then, where a Jewish girl somehow ends up with a Muslim somewhere in Israel, and there are organizations that try to get them out. But the child that's born, according to us, is a Jew. According to them, he's a Muslim. Because the Tate is a Muslim, and he gives off the religion. He gives off the Islam, the Islam side to the child. And from us, we say, no, the mama, right? So Dina would not be giving birth to children who need to have milah. So asher lo heter or lo, that he has every right to be an orim. They're saying that the reason is that there should be marriages. If you know sim nashim elu me'elu, v'yu la mechad, that they should intermarry and there should all be one nation. He says that can only work unless you guys all do it. He says they said ach, presumably because they thought that the entire nation would never agree, right? They're basically saying, hey, the only way it's going to work is if your whole nation agrees. We know they're not going to agree, because why on earth would anybody do this? Guess what? Like Jerry, like you said before, if there's only one girl, Dina, and she's taken by Shechem, why would the rest of them circumcise just so that Shechem can have the one girl? There's no other girl. What other girl? They look at the family of Yaakov. Oh, we can have the what daughters? What is this? What she got? So they're all going to reject it. Okay? She's saying maybe the intent was to kill them, but that it's not so clear. Okay, so he says, and basically, they're trying to anticipate any objections which they're going to have.
So what's where it says when the Sata has been saying to Lachem? What were they referring to?
I don't know. I'm not. Maybe future daughters that are going to be born.
Okay.
I mean, it's not clear that any. I mean, the brothers, they're all pretty young. But I can't imagine that any of them are married yet. I mean, there's no indication of that. Okay, pasuk Zayin, when Asanu has been saying to Lachem, Kan Nischak Muchach Magdola. Here they had another great chap. Somebody who's a trickster does not go into great detail about all the conditions of the deal. But Adara, Yevakesh Lahakel Adavar Al Shekanegdo Kadesh Yisratzel Asos Adavar. Rather, he wants to make things as easy as possible for the other side, so that the person will be agreeable. So then we'll say, oh, what about this? Oh, well, we never really discussed that, did we? No, we didn't discuss that. Okay, what about this? Oh, well, somehow that never really came up. We made it really, really simple, and that's why lawyers, what do they have? All the disclosures, right? And all the fine print, and all this, because they can say, because nobody reads it, right? They could say, we told you, you signed it, right? But here you could say, no, they're saying, no, that there was never anything. This way they could perhaps do what they were intending. Now, see, and this is the part I'm just troubled by the Or Chaim. Because I'm not really sure where he's going with all this. Like, on the one hand, he's saying that they're on the up and up. And then on the other hand, he's saying that they're really being like very good, very sharp in the way they're doing this. So, but what was their intention? So that's not really... Yeah, but see, right. But I think that he doesn't really want to go that route, though. That's the problem. That's where I'm just troubled with this. And the brothers, the sons of Yaakov, they switch this all around. So nobody should think that they're being tricky. We amru tanayu, and they said, no, this is a condition. Hadavar v'nasanu es v'noseinu v'nes v'noseichem nikach perish sherishus biyadenu laseis v'lokachas, that we have the option to give and to take. V'davar ze yagid siman muva ki midvarim biyosher levav lo l'tzar arma biolam. They said rishus, that we have the option. They're not saying there's no guarantee here. We don't want to marry your daughters, and we don't want you to marry our daughters.
Are we on page 4 yet?
We're up to Yud-Zayin. Okay, so we're up to page 4. Right, remember the brother said, if you don't listen and you don't circumcise, then we are going to take our sister. They're not saying that if you don't do it, that they're going to make war and they're going to take vengeance. They say, if you don't listen, then you'll be tamei lechu. All we're going to do is we're going to take our sister. We're out of here. That's our out. You don't do mila. We take our sister. Goodbye. Ve'en kan nok min nakam. We're not doing vengeance. Not doing any vengeance. And they're also showing, look, we're very serious. This is what has to take place, and if it doesn't, we are out of here. And you know, without that escape clause, somebody would say that they're being tricksters. Right, where because they said no. The fact of the matter is that this guy did a terrible thing, which even the other nations agree is no good. And this is where they actually revealed a little bit of their being strict about their rule. That it seems that after they're going to do circumcision, that everything is going to be hunky dory. Right, Shechem and Hamor, they said to their people that the people that the sons of Yaakov are being straight with us and everything's good. Now the question is, were Shechem and Hamor being straight with their people? I don't think that they were. And I think that that's also pretty clear from the text. But let's continue. Od Yirtzeh Be'omro V'lokachnu Esbitenu Nisgavnu L'Hachenu L'Vosh L'Hamor Shechem L'Maher L'Asos Davar. Right? When they threaten, they say, look, if this doesn't happen, we're going to take our sister. So what's Shechem going to do? Oh no, I want it to happen. And just to prove it, he's going to get the ball rolling. He circumcises himself right away. Shame, because he sees that they're going to take her away. So, right, it seems that this gives them the opening to at least weaken Shechem. But what does that mean? I mean, look, I said at the outset, I think that if anybody deserves a punishment on account of what he did, it's Shechem. But the question is, what did Shechem do? What did Shechem do in the laws of Bnei Noach? Is taking a penuya. What's a penuya? Good, don't say that too loud. You got it. Okay, is taking a penuya, an unmarried woman, and having relations with her, is that against Noachide rules?
Yeah.
It is not. So then what did they do? Now you can say it.
Kidnapped.
They kidnapped her. Ah. There's the problem, and there's the rub. Shlemim emitanu ve'en b'libam sina alam ayisa l'chush l'arma. Since they're straight with us, we don't have to be suspicious of anything. V'yomro es b'no seinu nikach lanu nischakmu l'mar kein, k'dei sheminu anche iram ke'en b'libam tina ke'en machshivino sam gedolu metovim. Right, they're also, they're convincing their people that everything is on the up and up, even though they're not being straight with them. Ki b'no sehem em nisratzim sheikhu lahem, u'b'nos mishpach ha'shchem, they're trying to convince their nation that this is going to be a good thing for them. Right? They were basically saying, we are greater than they are. Okay? That was not the perspective that the sons of Yaakov had. What do they say? You're joining us. When you join the other side, it's because the other side usually is better, stronger, whatever. If we're becoming them, that means they're better. But what do Shechem and Hamor say? They're becoming us. Sorry, that wasn't really the deal. V'yargu kol zachor v'yas chamor, etc. So the brothers, we didn't read those psukim, but Shimon Levi came in and they killed all the males. V'yas chamor, kasha. Lama yargu misha lo chata. So the Aruch Chaim says, look, we got a good question here. Why do they kill people who did not sin? V'od lama lo yidimu b'baal aver t'chila. It seems from the way the pasuk depicts it, that they killed Shechem last, right? If you actually look at the pasuk hey, chaf hey, Shimon v'Levi, they took vayargu kol zachar, they killed all the males. That's pasuk chaf hey, pasuk chavav, ve'es chamor ve'shechem b'no hargu l'fichar, and they killed Shechem and Chamor, or Chamor and Shechem, right? And then they took Dina. Okay, so I mean, really, they should have just taken care of business with the people who were the guilty parties, Shechem, and perhaps his father as well, and stop there. Why did they have to kill everybody? See, look what he says. All they wanted to kill was Shechem. They wanted to take Dina back. They wanted to get the guilty party. It's like the scene in the movie when the three musketeers are going in to get the Cardinal Richelieu, right? What do they have to do before they get the Cardinal Richelieu? They have to kill all the guards before Cardinal Richelieu. What do they have against Cardinal Richelieu's guards? Nothing. But he's in the way if they're getting... They're in the way if they're getting to the party that they're looking to get. Okay, so these guys, they stood in the way. The Balyar Gumakam. Notice how he doesn't say that they're all weak from circumcision, by the way. That is completely not a factor. Biosam Kalavim has nothing to do with circumcision. It has to do with whatever else. Asher Alkein Hargum Midin Rodef. They killed him because you're getting in my way of my trying to kill a kidnapper. The only way they can get the Chamor and Shechem was by killing all the people who put their lives on the line for their master. I find that to be fascinating. Just like, what a fascinating idea. That the only reason why they killed all the men, it's not that they're going into every house and like a dark night in the night, it's going into every and stabbing a guy in his bed, unarmed, nothing. Saying no, they're trying to get into the palace. And everybody is in the way. Od, another reason. Tam Shargu Kol Bnei Yair Litzad Sheim Oyu Be'ezer Shechem L'Gzaldina. The fact of the matter is that these people were all accomplices to the crime. There's another word, a deeper word, darker word. They were not accomplices. Accessories to the crime. Be'ezer Shechem L'Gzaldina. They helped Shechem do this whole thing. Ubnei Noach M'chuyavim Misa Al Hagazel. There you go. Kidnapping. Aval al arayas ein chiyuv. Kidina lo ayis ha'ish ha'ish. But there's no issue about taking Dina in that way, because that is not the problem. Okay? And he basically says the same thing as well in the next paragraph. Okay?
So why was Yaakov so upset if they stood up against them?
Okay, that's a good question. So Yaakov just looked at it from the perspective of, I mean, Yaakov says why he was upset. Okay, Yaakov says why he was upset. Take a look at the pasuk.
Everybody,
right? Right, that's what Yaakov says. So we saw last year what was amazing, the Ksav HaKabbalah had a really beautiful concept. He says that when they circumcised, all of their neighbors said, look at these guys, they all converted to Judaism. So they all abandoned them. They said, hey, let Jews kill Jews, right? And the Bnei Yaakov said, you guys are a bunch of phonies. You twisted everything we said and you didn't follow up with our deal. So they were totally alone. So when Yaakov says to the brothers, why did you do that? All the other nations are going to come. And the brothers are like, no, they're not. They're not. They were abandoned by all their people. So, but this is Yaakov's perspective. And look, Yaakov obviously is not a person who likes to engage in battle. He doesn't think that's... He's much more diplomatic. Right? He never fought against Lavan. He never fought against Esav. He didn't want to do that. So fighting is obviously something which is abhorrent to him. And what's their response? Hachazona yaseh hachoseinu. Hachazona yaseh hachoseinu. Okay, so having said that, let's take a look. Let's take a look at that, and we'll just finish there. Lamed Aleph. Okay? Okay, actually, let's look at Lamed. Why was Yaakov upset? I would say that the way that Or HaChaim really presented it, he says that the word mirma means that they were just really smart. I don't want to say sneaky. Shrewd. Good word. Okay, but that's what they were. And what Yaakov looks at, Vayomer Yaakov nichrim advarim. Yaakov lo yada ki b'mirma zu dibru. Yaakov did not realize that they were really good in the way that they spoke. Yaakov said, you really pulled the wool over these people's eyes, and what you did was so dishonest. Remember, Yaakov's an ish emes, Yaakov's a man of truth. Mm-hmm. And he does not like the way that they went about doing this. He said, you want to take Dina? Baal Korcho, Alaruk Shechem Levad, maybe kill Shechem himself, maybe. Baal Davar, Balolaro Kalanchi Yir Yachad. Yaakov, that did not sit well with him at all. So what's their response to him? Yom Ruach Hazona, Tzarech Ladas, how does that respond? Like, Yaakov thinks his family is going to be destroyed on account of the neighboring nations gathering around.
Right?
So maybe they would say, look, if somebody did something wrong, so give the one guy over, don't kill everybody. Even in this kind of sin, it had already been done. Ulai, so the Aruch Chaim says, what were they thinking? People would get upset if the brothers of Yaakov, if the brothers of Dina rather, came in and killed everybody without any reason. There was a very valid reason. And they turned her into a zona. What does that mean? What does it mean to turn her into a zona? If they turn her into a zona, that's again kidnapping. Okay, it's not about the sexual sin, because they don't care about the sexual sin. It's the fact that they took her and they made her into somebody who is available to everybody. She was a single girl. That's not a Ben Noach law. They're only commanded against certain relationships. But the idea is hakazona. What is hakazona? If they're going to take her and they're going to turn her into this, there's a death penalty involved in that, because it boils down to one idea, that they're all involved in taking her and saying that she's available to anybody and everybody, which means that she's kidnapped and she's a sex slave. And if that's the case, then everybody can die. So they don't need to say to Yaakov, oh, you know, look, and figure out what the Rambam would say about this. They say, no, the fact of the matter is, they're Bnei Noach and they're deserving because of what they did to our sister. And so that's their taich and that's their answer. And in the end, Yaakov has nothing else to say. He can't get over the fact that they murdered everybody, but he wasn't there. He wasn't there at the battle. So, and if the Aruch Chaim is correct that they only killed everybody because they were blocking their way to get to Shechem and Hamor, whom Yaakov might even agree that Shechem was guilty and deserved to die, but that's it. So they're all rodfim and they're all getting in the way, and that is a justification for that which the brothers did. And the proof that he essentially brings is the fact that it says they killed all the males first and then Shechem and Hamor, because they needed to get through all the Shechem. I find that to be a pretty compelling explanation for how it was that they killed all the men.